Jeremiah chapter 18, and I just want to share a few things with you that had been on my heart this morning, and it kind of went along with 9/11 and September 11th. We know that great tragedy that struck the United States of America, and I believe with all my heart that was the judgment of God upon this country for sin and sinful, wicked ways. A lot of folks don't look at it that way. They think, well, those innocent people, they was, even children died that day. Well, God is no respecter of person. That's Bible. Even in the Old Testament days, sometimes when he placed judgment on people, saved folks died too. And God has, as you mentioned earlier, has his hand of protection and a hedge about this great country. Hey, this is still a great country. Let me say that. This is still the greatest country in the world. No matter what the critics say, no matter what CNN says, I ain't got that thing on, Brother Chris. I don't think I need it, do I? Hey, America's still the greatest country in the world. We've got the hand of God on us. And we want to keep it on us. It's not always going to be on us. I want to read to you out of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, y'all know him as a weeping prophet. He spoke from his heart what God told him to speak. And that's what I want to do. I ain't no great preacher. I know I'll never be. Hey, I'm lucky to get to preach the nursing home and rescue mission. I feel blessed, Miss Debbie. I know what God's done for me. I know, Brother Allen, where he brought me from. Hey, that ain't what I'm after. I want to see people get saved. I want to see people go to heaven. I want to see my children get saved, my grandchildren. I want to see little Mason come up here one day and bow his head and say, Lord, I accept you. And then he'll be up here picking his guitar and singing for the glory of God. Hey, that's what it's all about. Hey, so Jeremiah was like it. I cry sometimes when I get to preaching. I weep. I don't care. Hey, if it gets you to Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. Jeremiah started out. Flip over Jeremiah 1 first, and I'll read you that, and then we'll go back to 18. That's where we're going to take our message from. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah started, it says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Athoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in those days of Joash, the son of Ammon, king of Judea. He's giving a history lesson here. In the 13th year of his reign, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Joash, king of Judea, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Joash, king of Judea, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Jerusalem was took captive. Then, verse 4 says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is what the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. Before I formed thee in the belly, in other words, before I formed you in your mama's belly as a baby, I knew thee. Isn't that amazing? God knew what every one of us in here was going to be tonight before we even a concept or a thought or a twinkle in your mom and daddy's eye. He knew what you was going to be, Miss Elizabeth, today. He knew you'd be sitting right here with your husband of 20 years and your two babies born again, Christians. He knew that. Hey, stuff like that helps me. I don't care who you had, ought to help you. I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He's telling Jeremiah what he wants him to do. Then I said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Then the Lord put forth his hand, listen to this, and touched my mouth. He touched the lips of Jeremiah. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. God gave him what to speak from when he was a child to go out and warn folks about their wicked ways. That's all he did all his life from that time. He was a young man, and some say maybe 12, 13 years old. I don't know. He was a young man. But some say God, it's, the scripture there says he was just like John the Baptist. God knew him before he formed him and set him up to be a great prophet. And all they wanted to do was warn people against their sin, to turn from the wicked ways and turn to the Lord, that the hand of judgment might not come upon them. So then we get out. He does that. He preaches, and man, people hated him. You know, folks don't like a preacher of righteousness. You get preaching about sin, you get run off. Hey, that ought to be everybody's favorite subject. We all like to do it. Sin. You got to preach against sin sometimes. If you don't, you know, folks get to that place, Miss Debbie, like you said a while ago, we didn't see them signs that said, in Allah we trust, but now folks has got where that we're so compromised and so comfortable with all that stuff, and all that stuff is sin, that we accept it. It's still sin. Still sin in God's eyes. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. Don't say nothing about Allah. It says the Lord thy God. There's one God and none but him. Chapter 18, we get there. And Jeremiah's been preaching, and they've cast him in dungeon. They've locked him up. They beat him up. They've run him down. He just takes a beating, even from his own people. And all he's trying to do is help them. He's trying to tell them that the Lord has sent him to warn them against the things that's going to take place. Chapter 17 gives a little preview of it. He says the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. In other words, it's penned down. God knows what they've done, what they've been doing. Verse 5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man. That's where this country's at today. We're trusting in man who's made flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Most Christians today, folks that's been born again, washed by the blood of Jesus, the thing that gets them out of church is their heart departs from God. They forget, Brother Todd, what God did for them. Hey, it's easy to do. Brother Darrell teached a good message. He's preaching to me, Brother Darrell. I like to help me this morning about God putting you up on the shelf because your heart has departed from him. You can praise him all you want to with your lips and your mouth, but God said, your heart's far from me. Your heart's far from me. He said, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Where's the word of God? We got it right here. This King James Bible. And it's been, preached about so much that you get to telling people about the King James is the only true word of God. They don't want to hear that anymore. Oh, well, I can't understand that one. It's too complicated for me. You know, and I don't want to preach a message on the King James Bible, but I ain't found no problems with it yet. Amen? Hey, it's still the same Bible that these holy men of God penned down, and it's been translated. It hadn't been interpreted. We've got the best translation that we need. It's the same word of God that saved me. It's the same word of God that saved you. It can still save folks today. We don't need to change it. We just need to preach it. And that's all. Where's the word of the Lord? So Jeremiah gets to this point, and he's warning them. Verse 23 says, but they obeyed not. We talked about that a little earlier. They obeyed not. That's the hardest thing for most folks to do, is just obey the Lord. Just obey the Lord. I mean, it starts as a child. Abigail's a prime example, and I'm sure Mason is too. They're disobedient. Little kids, where's Emily at? Emily, you're disobedient sometimes, aren't you, sweetie? It's in our nature. It's called sin. We're disobedient. We're born that way. I'm not picking on you, honey. Sit down. I love you. Disobedient. Grown-ups is worse than kids. Hey, I'm not hurting your feelings tonight, but some of you get told what the Word of God says you ought to do. You puff up. You blow up. You get mad. And you don't ever get over it. Amen. It's not my word. It's not Pastor Terry's words. It's God's word. Amen. He hurts my feelings sometimes too. Amen. But I get over it. That's where that repentance comes in Miss Debbie, we have to do that. See, grown-ups don't like to be told what to do, especially women. I just throw that in. Oh, you men would laugh a little bit. Okay, get y'all feeling better. I feel bad. I'm feeling better now. I'm feeling snots running out. I'll be okay. Hey, chapter 18. We get to the word of the Lord. He said, "But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear. They didn't want to hear the word of God." I'm in 17, verse 23. He said, "But made their neck stiff, that they might not hear." In other words, God told me what to tell them, and I told them, and they didn't want to hear it, so they puffed up. I believe one place Isaiah said they made their face like a flint rock. They just turned their face. You know how folks, it was popular here a while back, they say they give you the hand. You know, hey, I don't want to hear that. That's what they did. And that's what folks will do today when you get to giving them the true word of God, telling them what to do. Hey, I don't want to hear that. It said they made their neck stiff that they might not hear nor receive instruction. This is an instruction book. We've got it. Brother Darrell taught on that this morning. It was good. We know what to do. We just don't want to do it. It's plain and simple. It's in black and white. Some of the good words is in red. I mean, we've got it. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. Y'all heard that before? That's right. That's what we ought to live by. And we're so guilty of not doing it. So the word of the Lord, here we go, chapter 18. Now, I got like two or three little points here, I think. Yeah, I got three things. I want to tell you about it, and we'll shut up and go home. The word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, they're not Jeremiah's words, they're the words of the Lord, saying, and y'all have heard this preached and preached and preached, but maybe you get a different look at it tonight. Arise and go down to the potter's house. Brother Allen, you started to teach my message, you gave my message a while ago when you got talking about, I was going to stand up and say, Brother Allen, be quiet just a minute. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Let's pray right there. Lord God, help me just for a few minutes. Oh, I'm nothing without you, Lord. It feels good to be here tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to stand and give your word, Lord, to these good people tonight. You fill my heart with joy already, and I thank you for the good testimonies, the good singing. Lord, I pray for those that are not here by way, Lord God, that you would touch them and help them. You'd touch them physically, spiritually, Lord, their need, whatever it may be, you know it. Lord, meet with us just for a little while, and we'll be sure and thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, and said, arise and go down to the potter's house. Now, that don't take a rocket scientist to figure out what he's talking about. If you ain't smart enough to get it, I'm going to help you a little bit. The potter is the Lord. So if the potter is the Lord, then where we're at right now, the house of God, is his house. Right? That's pretty simple. If you want to go to the blacksmith's house, you'd go down to where they made horseshoes and stuff like that. That would be the blacksmith's house, and that would where he would do his work. Well, we're in the potter's house tonight. Now, this is going to help you. God gave me this sitting on the couch a little while ago. I was going to preach something different, but he said, no, right here, and I know it's where we need to be. You're here. Now, look what he said. He said, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. You know, sometimes you don't feel like coming to church. You just feel bad. Or sometimes you may just be angry, not wanting to go, upset with somebody. But if you'll just get to the point where you get down there. I'm talking about going to church. I'm preaching about church attendance a little bit. I know all y'all don't need it, you hear. But somebody listening might need it. You get where you can get some help. you be hanged. If you want to get in your little nutshell and hide at home behind your computer and sulk and drown yourself in your sorrows, you're not going to get no help. You got to get to where the one who can help you is at. He's at the Potter's house. So there's always a place to go. I thought about the prodigal son. Just apply that a little bit to that. He was at his father's house, which was his father, which is the potter, the father in heaven. And he got away from him, went out in that far country, you know, and did all that, and wasted his life on riotous living. But the scripture says when he came to himself, that light went off in his head that day, and he realized, man, what am I doing? I need to get back down to the potter's house, or my father's house, where I can get the help I need. Number one, the potter's house, the house of God, the Word of God. That's where your help's going to come from. Your help's not going to come from Brother Keith tonight. If Brother Terry was up here preaching, it wouldn't be coming from him. It would be coming from the Word of God. We just do what we're told to do. We put it out there, and, hey, it helps. God has, let me interject this. God has the complete authority through His Word and the complete ability to do anything to you, through you, for you, that He desires to do. Hey, whether you like it or not, there's going to be troubles. There's going to be trials. There's going to be situations come up in your life. Man, I've had a lot of them here lately, and I hadn't understood all of them, but I know within my heart that it's God doing a work. And that's where we're going with this. Verse 2. Verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, when he got down to where he could see what was going on at the house of God or the potter's house, where God was giving him a lesson here. Behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Now, I've heard this preached 2 or 3 different ways, but we're going this way with it. The wheel is the work of God. The wheel is God. Just picture it as God. Because we are what? The clay, right? He's the potter, we're the clay. Y'all know all the old songs that's been wrote about that. There's some good ones and there's some bad ones. We are the clay. And he's the wheel. So when Jeremiah looked at this, he saw that potter. He says he was wrought a work on the wheels. The wheel being God. God has the authority and ability to do what He wants to with us when He wants to. And the vessel He made out of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Notice that clay didn't get up on that wheel by itself. That's the problem with most of us. We want to get to where we think we can get to do something for God, where God will do something for us. That's you getting there. Now, when God's doing a work in your life, whether it be trouble, distress, joy, whatever, He's put you there. You didn't have nothing to do with it. He's in total control. Now, granted be, sometimes we get ourselves into some situations by not listening to the Lord to start with, not being led, living by faith and being led by the Spirit. We get to walk in our own way, thinking our own thoughts, and doing our own things, and we get where we ought not to be. But God always still has that watchful eye on you. And He's wanting to get a hold to you and put you back up on that wheel. We don't like to be put on the wheel. We don't like to have God do a work on us at all. That clay being us and God being that wheel that He's working on. It goes on, it's going on right now, right here at this church. And some of us is just too ignorant to realize what God's doing. He's got to take the whole body of Christ, the church, as a ball of clay. This is a good illustration. Abigail was playing with Play-Doh. I hate Play-Doh. Anybody like Play-Doh? I hate that stuff. It gets in the carpet. Everything sticks to it. But God showed me something through that Play-Doh today. She had it on her feet, went out on the carport because she was making footprints in the Play-Doh. I use illustrations. God shows me stuff through that. God, God showed me something a while ago when Mason ran up and grabbed hold of me right there. Boy, God just got hold of me. She went out on the carport, and there was leaves out there, and them leaves got stuck all in that Play-Doh, and she tracked it back in half. That's what's wrong with a lot of us. Brother Todd, I'm going to come back there for a minute, okay? God, loving you, I like to get close to God. I'm a real preacher. Now, I don't put on no laugh. I know what God's doing for me, Jim. Well, Moses, you got sticks, leaves, rocks, stuff, long stuff. That's, I could play on this. And God, when he just let him get a hold of us, put us up on that wheel, and start shaping us, making us out. Do the work, not proper work, pulling out all this shit. See, it's okay as long as you're doing it to somebody else. You look around in here, there's some empty seats. You see, God's doing the work on me. And we look at it like, well, I wish they'd do this, or I wish they'd do that. Maybe we need to pray for them a little more to God will do it a little bit on us. You know? It don't ever feel good when God's working on you, but when he's working on somebody else, we can bear it pretty easy. That's easy. He puts you on that wheel, and then his feet. Yeah, y'all ever been watching them make pots at a pottery? They got that wheel, and they spin it with their feet. That's God, the potter. He's in control of that wheel. That's him. Then he takes his hands. See, you've always got God's hands in it. Not our hands, God's hands. And God puts his hands on that lump of clay. That's you. He picks it up, or the body of Christ, this church. He throws it, that big lump of clay up there, and he says, whoa, man, that thing's a mess. You know, sometimes he looks at it and he says, that's a mess. He said, and the vessel he made of clay was marred, and he just gets a hold. Sometimes I feel like God's got hold of me, and he's just squeezing me sometimes, brother. And I said, Lord, what am I doing wrong? And then other times I say, thank you, Lord, for doing that for me. Amen. But there's an ingredient missing here. And it don't say nothing about it here, but I've seen enough people make pots and stuff out of it. But then I look back up to verse 1 and I catch it. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. He already had God's word. Tell him to go down there and watch this work. So we don't know exactly everything that happened here. We just get the picture of him going in there where this man's making his clay pot. You got to have that water. And that water makes it easier. And that water is the Word of God. It's so much easier when you know the Word of God to accept preaching, even. I mean, if you know a little bit about your Bible and somebody's preaching a message and they throw a verse out there to you, you say, I've heard that before. That makes sense. It makes it easier. But then when the preacher gets to preaching on something that's helping you, you can bear it a little better. See, preaching the Word like it should be preached, it'll usually hurt you before it helps. That's the way God's word is. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts you going in. It heals you coming out. It's awesome. I've never understood it, but it's always done that. It's always had that effect on me. Jeff, when somebody gets to preaching and I know it's hitting home, and I go home and I meditate on it and I think about it, and I say, Lord, I got some things I need to get right. I know I've been dealing with this for a long time, Lord. I need to repent of this. I need to turn from that and just let you take control of it, get my hands off of it, then it's a whole lot easier for me to deal with, you know, if I know that's the true Word of God. So he has that water, that Word. The water, the wheel is God, the water is the Word. The Word will make it easier to work. He assures you he's in control. His feet's on the wheel. He's got you on the wheel. He's working on it. God always has a place for you to go. Let me go back and touch on that. God's got a place for everybody. Place in here. Miss Sarah, he's got a place for you right here. Thank the Lord for that testimony you gave a while ago. That helped me. Miss Sarah said she's glad she could take care of herself and she's been taking care of somebody else. God bless her. Amen. She didn't complain. She didn't criticize. She thanked God for she was able to take care of herself, and she's been taking care of Miss Linda Davis so far. Thank God for you, Miss Sarah. You know, if more of us could do stuff like that. You know, God has a place for you. Your place is here at Open Door Baptist Church. Let me say it again. Your place is here at Open Door Baptist Church. His hands, that's God's protection. His hands are working. You know, he's always reaching in and getting things and pulling things out that don't need to be in there, but his hands are that protection that's always around you. We don't think of it, but you know, when we pull out of here every day, we're under God's protection on these roads, the school buses, the kids at school, the people that died in them twin towers up there, they were under God's protective hand till that morning. We don't know. It can change in the blink of an eye. He said that vessel that he made was marred. God always has something to show you, too. He showed him that process he needed to go through there. We've always got a place to go. We've always got a process to go through. We don't always understand it. There's always a process to go through. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Aren't you glad? We're going to finish that verse, and I'm about done. That when we mess up, God don't just take that lump of clay, Brother Allen, and throw it out.
Amen.
That's what I did with Abby's Play-Doh today. When I picked it up, it was full of leaves and twigs. And God showed me something right there. He don't do that. When that clay gets marred up with all that junk in it that we think it ain't no good, we look at some folks and we'll say, well, they don't come but about once a month. Or they don't stand up and testify like they used to. I ain't heard nothing good about them in a long time. God don't look at them like that. God don't throw them away. We do. I'm just trying to help you now. God don't give up. It says right here, he says, so he made it again. How many times has he made you? Over and over and over. I'm glad for them do-overs, man. Over and over again. Brother Allen, he's picked me up out of that miry clay. Even after he saved me, he sanctified me, he put the Holy Ghost in me. He still has to pick me up. I repent of my sin. He picks me up. He makes me again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, and this deals with our nation, and it deals with the house of Israel. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? This is the Lord speaking to Israel. Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, he's talking, and concerning a kingdom to pluck up. Listen to this. These are strong words. The men and women that are in charge of this great nation, the United States of America, need to read Jeremiah 18. And apply this to their heart and their life, to the United States of America. The Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, still has the power to pluck up this nation, to pull it down, and to destroy it. That's God's word, not my word. Do you know that sudden destruction could come tomorrow on the United States of America? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just getting you to face reality. We live in a real world. We're real people. It's got real problems. But the good news is we serve a real God who's bigger and better than all that. He says, if that nation against whom I have pronounced these things. He's told Jeremiah what he's going to do to Israel. He said, but if that nation, what does it say there? Will turn from their evil. Boy, that's pretty plain simple. I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. In other words, you can avoid the judgment of God if you turn from your wicked ways. That's what that verse back there says. Pretty much the same thing. If my people, which are called by my name, that's us, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We won't have to face that judgment. Three things there. God always has a place for you to go. He always has a process for you to go through. And the last thing, God has always had a plan. He had a plan for Jeremiah. Remember what we read in verse 1? It said before he was in his mother's womb, before he was formed in there, he had a plan for Jeremiah. And we know, all know the story about Jeremiah, how he was led into captivity and he was released, and some terrible things happened to him. He was put in a dungeon. And he still cried for the people of Israel that they would repent, the sin of Judah, that they would turn themselves back to God, that they might not have to face that judgment. He was always, God has a plan, and is always, the Lord has always had a plan. Ephesians 1 and 5 says this, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the foreknowledge of God, to the good pleasure of his will. God's always had a plan for us, and his plan is for all of us to be saved. I quoted that verse this morning that he is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Miss Sarah, come on to the piano, we'll close. I want you to pray tonight for this nation. When you go home and go to bed, I've had it on my heart a lot here lately, the way this country is and the things that's going on. We need to pray for one another. I hope you do that every day. Amen. I hope you pray for your pastor every day. I know you pray for your families. But pray for this nation. Hey, the folks that's in charge of this country, they need some prayer. They need some help. They've turned so far away from the Word of God, away from the things of God. And God's Word's still true. It says if we will turn. Turning is repentance. That's all it is repentance. And being a Christian is a life of repentance. You have to turn every day. There's not a one of us in here that goes by a day and doesn't have a sin in their heart. The preacher, Pastor Terry, tell you, he has a thought sometimes. He wished he hadn't thought. You know? We don't dwell on them thoughts, but we still have that thought. You know, we might say something to somebody the wrong way. That's sin. I believe the scripture puts it like this. The thought of foolishness is sin. The thought of it. So if you even thought about something like that, it's sin. So we ought to turn. Repent. It's going one way. Wait to turn around and go the other way. That's what the United States needs of America today. They need to turn from the way we're going and go the right way. We've got so compromised, so comfortable with the things that's going on in this world and in this country. We've accepted it. God don't bring his standards down to where we are. That just don't happen. Just because we accept it, God still doesn't accept it. All this same-sex marriage, all this stuff going on. I stopped at McDonald's yesterday. Got a Happy Meal. This is just an example. Asked for a girl toy. This is what they told me at the window. All our toys are unisex. I pulled up to the window, Brother Todd, and I said, my granddaughter is not unisex. My granddaughter is a girl. I want a girl toy. That might not bother some of you, but that bothers me. I don't want them corrupting the minds of these children thinking it's okay to be whatever you want to be. God made you a boy, you're a boy. I don't know where this comes from. If God made you a girl, you're a girl. Amen. God don't make mistakes. Praise the Lord. He's still God. He knows everything that's going on. And he's helped me tonight. I don't know if he's helped you, but